faith is the only thing that moves the hand of God. There's a lot of people that will say, well, I got saved. How do you know you're saved? Well, I got baptized, or I go to church. They use everything in the world. How about believing in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, too. You believe in Jesus plus all these other things going to get you to heaven? Oh, yeah. Without this, well, what if you don't have this? Or what if you didn't do that? Well, then I ain't going to get to heaven. How do you get to heaven? One word, faith, Jesus. Faith in Jesus. That's it. Faith is the way you get there, isn't it? But faith in Jesus, of course, yeah. He tells us clearly that nothing's good enough other than faith in the name of Jesus. Verse 15 and 16. But the law brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. Is that true? You know, I think about what I was listening to a well-known preacher the other day talking. And he said, you know, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven. Now, he's not there yet, though. He's still preaching. He said, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven, I'm going to kick Adam in the shins. I knew he was kidding, of course. You know, I thought to myself, well, if I had been Adam and Cheryl had been Eve, guess what? Would we have still sinned? Of course we would have, yeah. I mean, we got the Holy Ghost living in us and we can't hardly walk without sinning once in a while. Cheryl said, speak for yourself. I said, oh, goodness gracious. Is it difficult to walk in faith every day? Yes, guarantee. It's difficult. It's not easy to walk in faith and to walk in love, like God said. It's absolutely very, very difficult. Now then, he says there, so that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, and we are certain to receive it whether or not we follow Jewish customs. If we have faith like Abraham, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. Now then, those of us that are Gentiles, as a rule, do you even know what the Jewish customs are? No, you don't know them. Now, what if you had to keep all the Jewish customs to be able to get to heaven? Would none of us get there, would we? Aren't we glad we're free in Christ?
Amen.
We only got to know one thing, right?
Yes.
Jesus. Now then, if we know all these other things, it makes life much more interesting. It's interesting to learn about the Jewish customs, the way they do things. I'll have to say, all that is nice. I mean, it's wonderful. In fact, maybe in the not too distant future, I've been studying a little about this ever since I heard Zola Levitt teach on this. He taught this in our Baptist church in Louisville. Goodness, had to be 30 years ago. I thought how interesting that was. When he came over there 30 or 35 years ago, whatever it was, he taught us about the Lord's feast, the seven feasts of Israel. I had just barely started learning a little bit about those seven feasts. I didn't know very much. But he went through those feasts, and I thought, how intriguing that is. God's feast. And then he told us the last thing he did before he left. He said, now I'm going to tell you how a child goes through all seven of these feasts in a mother's womb before it's born. And he went through that, and I was so intrigued. I don't care who you are. If you're born on this earth, you've been through the seven feasts of Israel. Think about this. I'm not going to teach on this today, but just think about this. What is the first one of the feast? Passover. What day does Passover take place? The 14th day of the first month. Is that right? Passover is the 14th day of the first month. When a woman gets pregnant, where do they start counting? From the first day of the last menstrual period. How many days do they count? 14. That's when she conceives. I mean, every doctor knows that. Most mothers know that. But not all of them. But most people don't know those little things. Now, that's just a little bit to whet your appetite of what we're going to talk about. One day when I get all this together, I wish I knew it as good as Zola did. I have been studying that lately. I've been looking and researching and all these kinds of things. It is very interesting, the things that happen to you as you're growing in your mama's womb. All the major events that happens on a feast day of God. The exact number. Isn't that amazing? You can find it on the internet. You can go in and start researching this and looking up things about the seven feasts, the Lord's feast. and how a relationship between a child and the feast, and you begin to get all kinds of information coming in. So it's very interesting. You know, some of you may look it up and you have it all memorized and be ready before, since I told you. Now you'll, what's your appetite? You'll go out and you'll know it before I do. See? It is interesting. But you know, I mean, is this true? The Passover is on the 14th day of the first month. Is that right? That's what it says. Passover is the 14th day of the first month. Like I said, when a woman gets pregnant and she finds out she's pregnant, the doctors go back and say, what was the first day of your last cycle? Is that what they say? Sure, that's what they say. And you go back to that day and they count 14 days down, and that's when you conceived, the 14th day after the menstrual cycle started. That's the period when the egg was released to come down, and that day you got pregnant. And then you carried that baby for 8.5 more months. Everything happens, and a magnificent thing happens on the 14th day, a magnificent thing happens on the 15th day, and right on down the line. You'll be amazed at what we'll, but one of these days we'll get this all together, and if one of you comes up with all this and gets it down perfect, I'll let you teach it for me. It's an awesome thing. And but if you get into it and study it, and you'll find some wonderful things, it'll be very intriguing for you to learn these things. In other words, God, is God beyond your wildest dreams?
Yes.
Does he do things when he says you're fearfully and wonderfully made? You don't have a clue, do you? Don't have a clue. I was just listening to Louis Giglio last night, and he was showing the human being at 3 days when there were 16 cells. I believe it was 16, 8 or 16. And he was talking about how big you are. And here you were, they had something up there, a great big old thing up there, and here's these few little cells right on the tip of this thing. He said, you know what that is? He said, that's you and your 16 cells at day 3 on the head of a pin. On the point of a pin. That was you. Isn't that something? That you were those little tiny cells? And then something else, what he said blew my mind. He says, when your mother and your daddy come together and they have one cell and he has one cell and the DNA of those two cells come together to make a new DNA, he said the DNA is so big and so long that if you quoted every character in it, it would take you like 90 years. If you quoted one character every second, it would take you 90 years to read that one list of DNA for every cell in your human body. Is God awesome? We don't even know how awesome he is. He is beyond our wildest dreams. But anyway, so that's why faith is a key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, and we are certain to receive it whether or not we follow Jewish customs. I mean, so we don't have to follow Jewish customs, but although Jewish customs are very interesting, if we have faith like Abraham, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. Now, verse 17 and 18. That is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happens because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who brings into existence what didn't exist before. Now, when you read that one verse right there, what can our God do? Can he raise the dead? Is there any problem with him raising the dead? Why do we have such a problem with that? That's it, Tom. We are human. You know, now I have seen one man, I prayed for one man that was raised from the dead. I prayed for several others that didn't come back from the dead. And some of them I prayed all night long. Now, the one I prayed for, it only took one prayer. He'd only been dead a half hour, 20 minutes, whatever it was, and one prayer raised him from the dead. Obviously, I had faith that night, didn't I? But every other time I prayed, obviously I didn't have the faith because they did not come back from the dead. Was the same Jesus there over me both times, all times? Yeah, he is there. But it worked for one. It didn't work for the others. Obviously, we have faith sometimes and sometimes we don't. God can not only bring the dead back from the life, but he can make things that didn't exist into something. Was there a world here when he decided to make the world? You know, when I think about the galaxy that we live in, when I think about how awesome God is, when you take this Earth that's a golf ball size and you take a star that is as tall, almost as tall as a roof is to the floor, and it was a big ball that big, and you got a little golf ball out here, and this is us, and this is the sun, that's a pretty big difference, isn't it? And does the Earth feel like it's a pretty big thing? Oh, yeah, you know, we, Cheryl and I go to Norway, you know, it takes 12 hours flying to get there 600 miles an hour. It seems like the world is a big place. And then you go from here to this, the sun, and then you take this humongous thing, the sun, and you get over to this big star that's in our galaxy, which is no mean the biggest one, but it's called Betelgeuse. A strange name, isn't it? Betelgeuse. That star, well, think about this. Here's this Earth out here, and here's the sun out here. And how many miles is it from here to here? 93 million miles. So then how far would it be from here to here to the same path on the other side? 186 million? Okay, so now we got a circle here, but the diameter is 186 million miles across. Here's the Earth out here on this one, and here's the sun in the middle. Betelgeuse is twice the size of that circle. Here's the sun in the middle, Earth out here. The star, Betelgeuse, is twice the size of the diameter of that circle. And it's in our galaxy. Just a little bitty feller. But it ain't the biggest one. It's a big one, but it's not by no means the biggest. Now, who made that big monster? God. Do you reckon he needs mine and your counsel? No. You don't think he needs our help? See, it makes it real simple for me when he was talking to Job that time. Job, did I have to talk to you when I laid the foundations of the earth? No. You know, I mean, you know, but we want to give him counsel, don't we? Oh, yeah. We try to tell him how to do things. God is an awesome God. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I just realized it's 4:15. Right there at verse 18, I'm going to stop right there in Romans 4:18, and we're going to continue on there next week.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "This Faith Stuff Really Works," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.